We're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today, Luke chapter 10. We are continuing the series that Pastor Jack has been on of want to move forward, just stop. And today our focus is just stop with the distractions. Or if you want a more focused on Father's Day, we have disastrous distractions disabling discombobulated dads. I spent about 5 minutes on that one, so... All right, well, let's open with prayer, and we will get into the Word. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you love us. Thank you for the grace that you have shown to us through Jesus. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, we need you today. We need you to work in our lives through your Word. We want to hear your Word. We want to learn. We want to grow. Use the Holy Spirit to challenge us, to convict us in areas that we can change, areas where we need to grow to become more like your Son. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as you think of distractions and different things might come to mind when you think about this. You might think of a little tiny object here that often acts as a distraction that pops up, it's always available to us. You might think of maybe driving. I mean, this is one of the biggest things. If you Google distractions, pretty much the first thing that comes up are statistics on distracted driving. So you can go in, you can find all sorts of things. And maybe you've had this experience before where you're driving along and someone comes up next to you, or maybe you're passing them and you just glance over and you see they've got a bowl of cereal, and they're driving, and they're doing the whole knees thing. That makes you feel very safe, doesn't it? You're like, oh, I need to pass this person very quickly, or maybe I'll just stop, because that's probably going to be safer than trying to drive next to them. It turns out there are 1.6 million car accidents per year because of distracted driving. 1 in 4 are caused by distracted driving. It turns out about 9 lives are claimed each day because of distracted driving. You think about this. Well, these are statistics. I mean, we live in a big country. There's a lot of things that happen. But in reality, these are needless deaths, right? If we just paid attention, if we didn't, if we just took and didn't answer that text, or if we just woke up 5 minutes earlier and ate our breakfast before we got in the car, this wouldn't be a problem. We think about these things, and typically, I think most of us would respond and say distracted driving is dangerous. We understand the risk. We understand how terrible it can be. But to a less extent, sometimes do we acknowledge the risk and the tragic implications of living a distracted life. And in Luke chapter 10, we see a situation where someone is distracted, and we have a situation that comes on. Now, as we're dealing with distractions, I want to give a little bit of a definition here to help us understand what we are looking at. So distractions are things that attempt to move our focus away from something of greater importance to something of lesser importance. That's the definition we're going to run with for distractions today. So as we're going into this, this is what we're going to be focusing on. When you hear me talk about distractions, that is what we are looking at. So we're getting into this, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. Follow along with me. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. We're going to stop right there as we get into this. You understand, we have this situation where Jesus is coming and he's invited into the house of Martha. And we see how Martha in this situation, that Jesus is teaching, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus, and she's soaking it up, she's learning, she's grasping everything she can from Jesus. And Martha is over here. She's busy with all the preparations that it takes to bring many people into her house. Because it probably wasn't just Jesus, it was probably his disciples as well. And she has all these tasks, all these things that she needs to take care of, and she's focused on them. Now, most likely in our American society, or even American Christian society, we look at this and go, you know what, that makes sense. I understand that it's good to serve, right, Kodiak? That makes sense. That's something we should do, right? Well, absolutely. But we look at this, and Martha, we see that it says right away that she is distracted with much serving. So it gives an idea that she is focused on something that is less important, and there's something available at that moment that is something she should be doing that is more important. So we see this, and really, as we're jumping into this, and we'll kind of unveil this as we go, we see a couple things, because we're going to answer first here the question of what happens when we get distracted. What cause does it often have on us when we get distracted? And the first one we see here is that we often see our distractions as justified. Isn't that often how it is? Well, it's a good thing we see with Martha here. She is doing something that we would see as very validated. We would go, that's totally fine. Continue on what you're doing. That's great. We see that in this process, when we do this, we often take our distractions and go, this is a good thing. This is important. We defend it. We build it up. Oh, maybe, you know what? It doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't do anything that bad. We start to defend it. We start to excuse it. We start to say and justify it and say it's all right. And oftentimes that leads to blame shifting, to excuses. Our distractions, we cling to them and we try and defend them. They are important to us often. We see, and it even actually goes deeper here with her next step. Did you catch really kind of what happens next? Our distractions, they impact others. She goes on, and you can, I feel like this story is very imaginable, don't you? I think you can picture this story and what's going on. You're Martha, whether it's the kitchen or wherever, and you're stuck there dealing with all this stuff, and everybody's out there, and you're all alone. Maybe you've had a similar situation, and you're like grumbling to yourself, what's going on here? How dare, why am I stuck doing this? Why am I all by myself? Why is this just me? And she's there dealing with this, and finally, she feels so convicted about the matter, so confident and so sure of it, that she comes up to Jesus and she accuses Mary. She says to him, it says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She tells him to tell her to go and join her in her serving. Now, think about the different things that had to come along with this, right? One, she was attacking Mary for her priorities, right? So Mary, it was more important to Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus than it was to join in on the serving. Martha starts to attack that. He goes, you know what? You should have your priorities in order. You need to be helping me. It's our job to take care of this. We need to get involved on this. You need to join me. It's often what we do when we're distracted by something. We start to get distracted and we see this as the major thing that we need to be doing, and we start looking at others and we go, well, why aren't they joining with me on this? Why aren't they following me with this? Why aren't they doing this with me? Not only she goes and she tells Jesus to tell her, to tell Mary, to join her. See, the fact is, our distractions, we often expect other people to join in and follow us in our distractions. We do this all the time. Whether it's we just expect and think we need the help, or whether it's it makes us feel better to have other people along with us. Now, most likely we have heard this story before, and we know this passage quite well. And we see this picture and this contention that's building here. We have this distraction that Martha is dealing with that most of, in a lot of ways, we probably identify with. We understand, we see, we feel. We understand what's going on in her mind, and we go, that doesn't seem just, that doesn't seem right. Well, what's going on here? What's the bigger issue? Well, the next part is focusing in on how distractions happen. And we see Jesus' response in verses 41 and 42. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You notice how that statement there at the end, right? Mary has chosen the good portion. Let's sit here. Sit on this. So we have this concept of choosing this good portion. Now, really, when we are focusing on distractions, is distractions often, not every single time, but often they come from a misplace of priorities. You've got these different priorities that are in your life, and we mess them up, we misplace them, and suddenly we're focused on these other things, we're running after these other things, rather than what we should be running after. Because remember, distractions are when our attention goes to something of lesser importance from something of greater importance. Now, let's look at this. This concept of how Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, the picture that I get with this, maybe you did this when you were a kid, maybe you still do it, I don't know. But at Thanksgiving, you've got the turkey, and there's the wishbone, right? You guys all following me on this, right? And you've got maybe a brother or sister, and you grab one side, and they grab the other side, and you both pull, and what happens? It breaks, right? And one of you has the majority, and the other has this little tiny bone, right? You're like, Kodiak, that's kind of silly. But you're like, yes, I got the wishbone, I got the fuller part, I win, I'm better than you. That's kind of the picture here, and obviously a much greater standpoint, right? Of choosing the good portion. You got the right side. You've got the better priority. This was the good choice rather than the poor choice. This was more valuable. It was more important. It was better. Mary had made the right choice. She had made the right evaluation of what was important in that moment, what she needed to choose. Now, we look at what Mary was what she chose. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen to his teaching, to hear what he was talking about, to get to know Jesus and understand him. While Martha, we understand what she was doing. She was caught up in all this serving. She was anxious. The statement here is that she was anxious and troubled about many, many things. So Martha was focused on serving, and Mary was focused on sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, you say, Kodiak, misplace of priorities. What do you mean by that? Because I doubt if you would ask Martha, is your serving more important than Jesus? And she probably would say, no, of course not, right? She would not say, my serving is far more important than Jesus. No, she would say, I'm serving because of Jesus, right? She would be focused on, this is the whole purpose of what I'm doing, don't you understand? I'm serving because Jesus is coming to my house, and I want everything to work out great. Now, Jesus, he shifts the thinking of, you are anxious and troubled by many things. You know, to make this as simplistic as I possibly can, really, the difference between Mary and Martha here was Martha was focused on the physical things and Mary was focused on the eternal things. Martha was focused on trying to make sure all the things worked out just right, that everything was planned, everything worked, everything went smoothly. And Mary was focused on learning from the eternal words of Jesus. She was focused on grasping and understanding who Jesus was. And Jesus makes a statement that will not be taken away from her. So he's saying, one, to Martha, no, Mary will not be joining you in serving because she's going to be here listening at my feet. But then also, the response and the benefits that she will reap from learning and growing and hearing the everlasting words, that's never going to be taken away from her. But the serving that you're doing right now, it's going to last for a little bit, and then that's it. Think about this. Because if we look at our own lives, oftentimes don't we do the exact same thing that Martha did? We take all these different things and we line them up as important and good things. And we see them as the means to the end of these other priorities, but oftentimes they distract us from the very priorities that we deem so important. We did this, I spoke on this at Camp Fairwood for winter retreat, so try taking about 7-8 messages worth of content and throwing it into one. Don't worry, we won't be crazy long. But one of the exercises that we had the teens do was make a list of how their priorities should look, how they view their priorities, and how that should look to them in their lives. And then make another list of what their lives really actually say their priorities are. Because oftentimes, don't we find that that's a little bit different? We start spending time on these other things that we run after rather than the things that we actually know and understand are the most important. We see this, and this is getting us to the point where we're dealing with the so what. Kriyak, well, what are we getting at? What is it that we need to apply? What do we need to understand from this passage? Well, the statement is, you want to move forward, stop with distractions, start choosing the good portion. That's the focus, and that's what we're getting at after this passage. And I'm going to do this kind of in the application a little bit differently than I've normally done in the past. But we are going to see, and I'm going to divide this up into disciples of Christ, so things that should apply for followers of Christ specifically. And the second part of the application is going to focus more on relationships and families. Not that they're not important, I just want to key in on certain distractions that happen in our homes. So the first is stop running after the mirage that the world displays. Because the world is full of distractions and it will do everything in its power to keep you from running and pursuing after knowing Jesus Christ. And it's going to throw everything it's got at you. And it's going to give this picture of it's all perfect out here, it's all wonderful, it's all great. Just come out here, we have it. You want it, we've got it. So what we see, don't claim the world's priorities. The world has a host of priorities, and they're always shuffling, aren't they? It just depends on who's in power, what the majority is saying, what the loud part is saying. You see these priorities going all over the place. Don't match your priorities according to what the world says is important. You've got to make it. You got to have the cool things. You have the cool cars. It's important to be flashy rather than actually have substance. Don't claim the world's priorities. Second, don't run to the world for hope, meaning, or love. Those things are to be found only in Jesus Christ. And the world is going to be shouting, hey, find your meaning here in your identity. Find your hope over here. We can give it to you. Find what love is over here. You can experience it. Don't listen to those things. Those are a distraction. Those are only to be found in Jesus Christ. Third, don't desire to look and live like the world. It's difficult, isn't it, in some respects? To live in a society and a culture that says all these things are great. This is fantastic. This is how you should live. This is how you should walk. Just fit in. It's okay. Just fit in. Live like this. If you live like this, it is going to be all right. It's going to be easy to become a chameleon-like and just slowly sink off. We're called to be different. As followers of Christ, we are called to a mission to go and make disciples. And that looks much different than what the world is going to portray to you. So stop running after the mirage the world displays. Start loving Jesus. Listen and obey his word. We understand and we see Mary comes out strong here, right? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus when she could have chose other things to do. But instead, she sat there, hanging on every word. We're called not to just listen, right? James talks and gives this beautiful illustration of not just to a man who looks in the mirror and then goes, it's fine, and walks away. No, when we see, we look, we hear the word of God, we are to change and we are to obey, to follow God's word, to make changes in our lifestyle. Listen and obey his word. Grow in knowing him and who he made you to be. This is an interesting one because we focus right over here, right? You're catching on to these concepts here, right? This develops strongly of to know Christ and make him known. This knowing Jesus Christ ties incredibly strongly into who you are as an individual because we are to find our meaning, we are to find our identity in who Jesus Christ is. If we grow in our understanding of who Jesus Christ is, that starts to develop this understanding of who we become because Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on a cross to pay for our sins. And that change became in our lives when we turned and confessed and repented and placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then the new man began. That identity of becoming more like Christ, and that's a progressive walk throughout our lives. To become more like Christ in that walk. Third, share him with others. This whole build here is on taste and see that the Lord is good. You taste and you experience that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. That he is the chain breaker. That he loves you and he is the only one that satisfies. And then you understand and you experience that and you go and say, you need to hear about this Jesus. He can change your life. You need to hear about this Jesus because he is powerful to break you from those addictions. He is powerful to break you from those chains, and you don't have to live in that sin anymore. Share him with others. As we move into the families and relationships, statement is stop missing the time. Start building the relationships. Think of this. In our relationships, we get caught up so many times like Martha, right? We've got the task after task after task. I'm a task-focused individual. I love having a checklist and being able to go, yes, 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 all the way down, and it's done, and throw it away. I love that. But how many times? Because on this same thing, if we're thinking of families, and parents and children, how many times are we focused on the tasks that we have to accomplish rather than investing in our children? Or children? If we're thinking, how many times are we thinking about the activities that we want to go and do? Or the things that we want to get involved in rather than thinking about building the relationships and cultivating that with our parents? The challenge here is to stop getting distracted by these other things and to focus on what is more important. Now, obviously, the good portion that Jesus was talking about was the eternal words of Jesus Christ and sitting at the feet of Jesus and understanding and knowing who he was. But so many times we let different distractions keep us from a mission that we have to go make disciples. And parents, our number one disciple project are your children. And children, the number one disciplers in your lives are your parents. And if we get distracted from that, we're missing it. We're choosing the lesser portion instead of the good portion. The fact is we need to start engaging on a real level. Start asking real questions. You know, this can be hard, right? It requires vulnerability. It requires getting down to the real struggles that are going on inside of you. But asking real questions, spending real time together, setting aside time to actually spend and build relationships rather than focusing on whatever else it is. Next is don't lead others into your own distractions. We have a tendency to do this as people. Martha wanted to do it, and we often do it too. Is we have these focuses and we have these distractions, and we bring others right along with us. We say, no, look over here, this is important. Run after this, this is what we need to do. Instead, lead them to know Jesus. I think about in my own life as a father. It seems like Addie is growing up more and more every single day. Because she is. And if I miss a couple days or a couple nights and we don't interact that much, I come back and I am amazed by how much she's grown. I'm amazed by how much I've missed. We as parents, we as children, we as anyone in the relationships that we have, we need to stop missing the time because we don't know how long we have. And that's the real issue here that we get at with distractions, is the fact that Ephesians chapter 5, this is so huge in this whole concept, 5 verses 15 through 17, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. None of us know how long we have. None of us know the time that we have with others. And the fact is, the days are evil. And we are challenged to make best use of the time. Think of that. Do our distractions measure up then? Will we look back and say, you know what, those distractions were worth it. Those were good. Or will we look back and say, man, I sure wish I had chosen the good portion. I sure wish I had done something that had lasted. I sure wish instead of running after all those sports and all those activities, I had spent meaningful time. I sure wish in my time I had built and grown in my understanding and knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. What are the distractions? And really the statements and the big questions that come up as we're concluding here is, what distractions are you letting into your life? What are the things that are creeping in and they're wasting time that you don't need to be spending? That you can be focusing on something better? If they're out of control, we need to start deprioritizing them or maybe get them out of our lives. Last, how can you best use the time that God has given to you? You want to move forward? Stop with the distractions. Choose the good portion. We're going to pray, and then you will be dismissed. Father, we love you. And we realize that we need you so much every single day. We are desperate for you in our lives because we are so easily distracted individuals. We can sit down trying to focus and we find ourselves somewhere completely else. Lord, we need you in our lives. We want to choose you as the good portion. Help us to run after you with everything that is in us. Give us the strength, Lord, to follow you and to grow closer to you every single day. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.